Welcome to Coatesville Connection, bringing you interesting interviews and homilies from clerical and religious leaders in the city of Coatesville. Each month, Holy Spirit Radio highlights a unique aspect of the city and its people of faith. And now, here is your host, Barbara Schenkel.
Welcome to Coatesville Connection. This morning, we're joined by Maura Gillen, and she is the head of Veteran Services in the Chester County area. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Maura, please give us your formal title.
I am the Deputy Executive Director for the Veterans Multi-Services Center. And for the last 2 years, I have been serving as the Program Manager for the Supportive Services for Veteran Families. We call that SSVF, the program that serves Chester, Montgomery, Delaware, and Fox counties under a grant from the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Well, we're so privileged to have you on air here at Coatesville Connection. And we've always heard about the Veterans Center in Coatesville. Tell us a little bit more about that.
We operate our program out of the former St. Cecilia's Elementary School because we are in partnership with the Catholic Social Services of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And when we established our program in the school, we had a wonderful meeting. Rick Sedlesky, the CSS administrator, and I, and a couple of others, we were sort of thinking about what would we call this place. And we landed on the military term operating base. So we call it Operating Base Cecilia. And the military term, you know, for an operating base is really we establish a base so that we can address a mission. And it's our mission at Operating Base Cecilia is really to end homelessness among veterans in our area.
Wow, what a great cause. Now, we know that so many of the veterans coming back from the Mideast have suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder, a lot of suicides. Talk a little bit about what is unique to the more recent veterans.
Well, the population that we serve encompasses the entire spectrum. So we do serve younger veterans returning from, say, Operation Iraqi Freedom or Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan. But we also serve many veterans who were Vietnam-era veterans, or even more senior to that, we've had one World War II veteran in our population. And those folks who might be a little older, when they lose a job or they suffer a set of circumstances, it's very hard for them to regain their footing, and they may find themselves in a homeless situation. Among all of our population, somewhere between about a fourth and a half of those who have been experiencing homelessness will be suffering from a mental health issue of some sort, whether that be a mental illness or a substance abuse disorder or a perhaps a post-traumatic stress disorder. When we talk to the veterans, one of the things that we try to establish up front is trust and rapport. Our reception specialist is himself a younger veteran, having served in Afghanistan. He was a Marine, and he himself has been diagnosed with PTSD, and he recognizes that in those people that we serve and can assist them very quickly to establish rapport and trust us so that we can really provide for their housing needs.
Is it also true, Mo, that some of these veterans coming back from overseas, either whether it be Vietnam or the more recent Iraq and Afghanistan, that they're just not able to enter back in from a war situation or a situation where they're on heightened alert where they've seen tremendous tragedy into just a regular 9-to-5 job?
I think that's a stress for all of us. I am myself a 27-year Army veteran, and I served 1 year in Iraq. And coming back, there were things about my civilian life that didn't make sense. And there was certainly that heightened sense, you know, where's my weapon? My weapon is always on my body. And you don't normally have weapons here in our coastal area. So sort of de-scaling from that is a varying process for each veteran. And I think many of our veterans may still have that lingers with them for a period of time. What we have seen, especially with the younger folks, is that they will work on those efforts to civilianize and decompress and change their mindset, and will work on that with the supports of their family. In some cases, they'll sort of expend the goodwill of the family, and you know, they may or may not be resolving as fast as their support network is ready to let them fly away. And that's really, we almost see a boomerang effect where, you know, someone will have returned from combat, and for a period of years, they may be fine, but after a while it sort of gets to them, and they start to experience this instability.
Yeah, I was just reading a New York Times article on a plane recently where it talked about a man who looked like he was completely returned back, and he just committed suicide out of nowhere. And they said this was the least probable person that they would have expected this could happen to. How does
that
happen?
Sure, and I think I read that same article. It was a Marine from a unit that has experienced, I think, the highest rate of suicides among service members from any given unit, and it's just an absolute tragedy. You know, in the population that we serve, their service needs are a little bit lower. In this program, which the VA specifically authorizes to be provided by local nonprofits like us, you know, we tend to deal with those who have lower service needs. If we identify someone who's struggling, we have a great relationship with the staff at the Coastal VA Medical Center, and we will make that referral very quickly. Now, that's not to say that everybody exhibits symptoms, and it's an absolute tragedy when, you know, someone is struggling inside and there aren't any outward symptoms that the rest of us can help our brothers and sisters to overcome. It's just so disheartening to all of us because we do care and we want to help. And so if there's anybody out there who's struggling, you know, I'll just make this a personal appeal. Let us know. Come up on the net and say something because we do care.
So, Mo, when they walk into Operation Base Cecilia, which is a great location because it is in a walking distance to downtown Coatesville, it's a beautiful location in terms of being able to be accessible. What would they do? Who could go there? Walk in?
Well, certainly we'd love to see any veteran who is seeking assistance. The assistance that we provide through the Supportive Services for Veterans Families program is really focused on those who are in a housing crisis, those who are literally homeless, staying in a shelter. We have a number of folks who resort to living out of their cars or trucks. There are those who have resorted to living in storage units or some other place that's not meant for habitation. And that's a crisis that we need to help them exit. So our focus really is on those who are literally in a housing crisis. We can also support those who are at imminent risk. You know, they've been through all the negotiations with the landlords. They've gone to the court. And the judge has, you know, ordered an eviction, and they're ready to see the constable on Tuesday. We can help them weather that crisis and solve their housing issues. We can also do some other wraparound services that support their further housing stability, things like employment support, getting them to a job fair, assisting with resume writing and interviews. And if someone just wants to do those sorts of things, they may stop in, and we can allow them to spend maybe an hour with us in our computer lab working on employment improvement skills. It's not a place where we invite every veteran to come in because we don't want to raise expectations that we're going to be able to serve. We have a fairly narrow focus. But at the same time, we never turn anybody away. One of my tenets is, you know, nobody comes to Operating Base Cecilia and leaves without something they didn't have before. So maybe that's a referral, or maybe it's just a bag of canned goods, but we're going to give them something and let them know that we care.
When you process these veterans through, I mean, obviously you do deal with some who have addictions and maybe some mental problems. What kind of services and how can you stabilize that situation? Where would they typically go?
Sure. So from a medical perspective, we always rely on those who are eligible for Veterans Affairs health care. And, again, we've got that great relationship. We really don't do a lot of diagnosis or clinical interventions ourselves. We're just not set up for that. For someone who does not have eligibility for health care from the VA, we'll access community-based services, whether that be through community mental health or one of the other great services in our Coastville area. We're able to, I think, make some headway with the veteran in terms of getting them to see what their own health care needs are and agreeing to go access those services.
You know, oftentimes it's easier for our listeners to listen to anecdotal evidence of how you operate. And I know when I work with crisis pregnancy centers, we have so many wonderful stories. Maybe perhaps you can give us the story of someone, not giving us their real name, but just walking us through a client who walked in and one of your success stories or what you typically would do with one veteran.
So the client who's on my mind right now is someone we have not yet been completely successful with, but the successes that we have had have brought him such a long way. This is a person who was sleeping outdoors. He was behind a particular convenience store, and a lot of folks knew that he was there, but he had refused to access housing. one of the things that we really recognize is that as we work to end homelessness among veterans, we have to make sure that those veterans are connected to an agency that cares about them and is trying to get them out. But the timing is there when they are ready to come in. We can't put somebody in a house and expect them to stay there if they're not committed to that. We work on housing stability assistance plans that are very individualized, and we work to set up maybe a 30, 60, 90-day plan with them actively involved in making that plan so that we will have their commitment. With this particular individual, you know, we really had to start from establishing trust because he just did not trust a lot of folks. And we worked back collaboratively with some other community members. I take great pride in saying that Veterans Multi-Service Center, Catholic Social Services, we worked with the county departments of Veterans Affairs, the county human services, and departments of housing, the housing authority of each county that we serve. And that, you know, we're all in this together. So with this particular gentleman, it really was a team effort. And some of our staff, because we are veterans ourselves, really did create some rapport and start to get him to where he would actually go see a landlord. Now, that was the very first step, and that didn't go very well early on, in part because he lived outside for a period of time, and he didn't present very well to a landlord, but at least he was willing to go see a landlord. But then over time, we thought about, you know, maybe get him to see another place, and, you know, over time, he would shower at the shelter before going to see a landlord. And then at one point, he asked us, when am I going to go see a new place? This was a huge step for this gentleman, as ultimately we did get him placed. And it didn't last for a long period of time because he's not, you know, when you've got a chronic history of homelessness, your schema, where you believe you belong, is outside. And having to change that in someone who's on that mental construct takes a long, long time. But he is primarily indoors now, which is a huge step. And we really believe that he's going to be in a place of his own very soon.
We're speaking with Maura Gillen. She is the Deputy Executive Director of Veteran Services in Coatesville. And the Operation Cecilia is what we're talking about. This is an operation that's put together in conjunction with Catholic Social Services in Coatesville to provide homes for veterans and homeless veterans to find a place for them to stay. Talk a little bit about this idea of homelessness, and why is it so attractive? What is this idea that they're embracing when they don't want to come in?
So I think some of it does stem from a point of pride, not wanting to say, hey, you know, I really need help with the rent this month. We have, in some cases, when we put together a homeless housing stability assistance plan, we look for those motivators, and so many times the parents and grandparents, the motivator is to reconnect with their kids and their grandkids. In some cases, that relationship will be part of how they became homeless because they're being so generous with the kids and the grandkids that they have neglected, you know, to pay their own rent. And that point of pride comes out where, you know, they'll take it on themselves to live, you know, in a truck or go to the shelter rather than let their kids go without something that they wanted to give them. And it comes up fairly often, more often than we like to see. There are a lot of other reasons where someone might find themselves homeless. You know, lots of just lousy luck. In some cases, you know, the stories, you listen to what has happened to these people, and we try to do things from sort of a trauma-informed care, not what did they do wrong, but what happened to them. And you just, at what has happened to some of our veterans we serve. One point of pride, again, is sort of a point of grace, I guess it is. I think our building and our program really is truly blessed. But it has been amazing to me that nearly every client we serve somehow becomes assigned to the case manager who will have just the right rapport with that client. And I really believe a lot of our success is that one-on-one relationship between the client and the case manager. And we have six different case managers. They each have strengths. And somehow, they always get the right clients. And I think that's divine. I really do.
Talk a little bit about that and with regards to the spirituality of Catholic social services. I mean, the Catholic doctrine is that the dignity of every human being is to be respected, and that's certainly evidenced in the way that they administer to these veterans. How important is that for the dignity to be so apparent to these people who have served so generously in the cause of our country?
I think that dignity and respect is critical to our success. If we can treat someone with respect when they come to us for assistance and, you know, address them as Mr. Smith and acknowledge that their situation is fleeting and it doesn't define them, I think that gives them a little bit of power to step forward and then resolve some of their own issues. It really is an inspired place. There are things that happen that let us know that we're on the right path. The first example of that was just so funny to me. Just shortly after we started our program, we were learning the rules about what could and could not be provided under the federal funding, under the VA grant. And one of the weird rules is that we can purchase for someone moving into housing if they're coming out of homelessness and have not had anything for a while. You know, we can purchase a bed. We can purchase a mattress, box spring, and frame, but we cannot purchase the linen. And somehow, during the holiday season, that first year when we first opened, there was a church in Oxford that made a huge donation of blankets and pillows. And we had even said that we needed blankets and pillows. You know, that to me was the spirit really saying, okay, you guys are on the right track. This is the right thing to be doing for our fellow countrymen. And it really has been amazing. It was the first of many, and I've sort of lost count of all the wonderful blessings that we have been a part of.
Well, let's talk about, that's a great segue. How can listeners help? Now, obviously you have federal funding, but it doesn't cover everything. How important are donations to Catholic social services in the Chester County area or in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia or individual donations? What can people do?
To even get started on the list of the wonderful, wonderful organizations that have been so gracious with their time, their talent, and the actual donations, gift cards are huge to be able to give someone the power to go shopping for themselves. You know, the linen, the Transportation Management Association of Chester County put together a wonderful gift drive just past holiday season for move-in items. Literally, you know, coffee pots and kitchenware, but microwave ovens. I mean, it was just amazing to think the generosity from the community. I mean, really, the veterans not only benefit from the actual item because, you know, having someone donate a coffee pot and allowing them to maybe get their morning started and have a great day as a result is one thing, but knowing that the community cares about them is also so significant. We can't take every donation. We try to balance identifying what needs. We can't go out and ask, and so I'm a little cautious about having this conversation, but I know the goodwill is out there. If you do want to donate, there's a couple of different avenues. If you've got, for example, furniture that, you know, you're replacing or from a state, the Veterans Multi-Service Center thrift store on Frankfort Avenue in Philadelphia can take those donations. That program allows either a resale to raise money for additional programs, but more than a third, and often about a half, of the furniture donations that we receive go back out to a veteran who's moving into a new place as an in-kind donation to help them start a new place. So, you know, when we divide the bed with the federal funding, you know, the chance to get a dinette set or a chest of drawers to make that place a home is really so valuable. If somebody does want to donate, certainly take that phone call to our phone number, 610-384-8387. Really, what we want out there is you're welcome to the community. Landlords, if you are willing to maybe go out on a limb for someone who doesn't have a great record in the past, you can contact Connect Point, the Decade the Doorway program, and let them know that you'd be willing to rent if you've got a vacancy. There are lots and lots of ways the community can help. We currently do not have a great mechanism for receiving vehicles. We've actually had a donation in the past, and it's just so infrequent that we would be able to match a donated car with a veteran who needs it, or to conduct a resale. It's not something that we do. So, you know, you know, if you've got a vehicle, I would encourage you to look at some of the other great charities in our area.
And again, can you give out the address for the donation center that you mentioned, that, you know, where you get a percentage, a large percentage actually goes back to help these veterans outfit their new homes?
Sure. I need to pull that that business card. It's the Veterans Bulky Service Center, VMC, thrift store, and that's located in the Mayfair district of Philadelphia on Frankfort Avenue. If you just one sec, the address there is 7126 Frankfort Avenue, and that's Philadelphia. And the phone number there is 267-731-6733. And our PNC thrift store staff can do a pickup of any donation. If you schedule them ahead of time, they'd be happy to make those donations.
As we close, Mara, what else can we do, or what else can our listeners in Coatesville help with? Is there any volunteer opportunities there available?
You know, I think there are some volunteers who have contributed in great ways. Sort of to the spectrum, I had one student veteran at Preston University who said he liked paperwork. So he was able at some point to help us with cleaning up some of our records that that we've been moving so fast we got kept up with. We have a wonderful bunch of folks who are right now helping to renovate a kitchen that we have in the building so that the teacher will be able to provide a meal once in a while to some of the veterans we serve. We try to do that in conjunction with our open house, but this will allow that to be done on a more regular basis. We've had other volunteers simply are present when we have a crowd, and that's helpful, and they love engaging with the veterans. There is an online volunteer form that someone could access at the on our CFC website, and that address is CF Center, for Veterans Public Service Center, but CFCSER.org. And depending on where you are, we'll be able to perhaps align your volunteer hours with either our site, so still operating base, or potentially down in Philadelphia. We also have PFC operations in New Jersey and Delaware now, serving veterans in those areas. We really would ask that the community just accept and acknowledge all of our veterans for where they're at. Some of our veterans, brothers and sisters, have gotten off track. That's not all of them. And some may be off track and may not be exhibiting that yet. But to allow them to tell their military stories and to be part of the community is really huge.
And just in closing, Catholic Charities there, are they paying for maintenance of the building, or how does that work? Do we need to make donations to the Catholic Charities appeal there as well?
Oh, thank you for that reminder note. Catholic Social Services has just been a wonderful agency to be aligned with. And the donations through Catholic Charities and even the Catholic Foundation now, a lot of that support then does flow through to provide those umbrella support that Catholic Social Services is providing to us. You know, we operate in that building under a use agreement that we have in place. And yes, the building still belongs to Star Sciences, and the janitorial services are provided. It's been a fantastic relationship. You know, we could not have asked for a better partner. When someone enters Operating Base Cecilia, literally half of the staff are Veterans Multi-Service Center employees and half are Catholic Social Services. And nobody knows the difference because we're all a team. Operating as a group for achieving one
mission. Well, and it's great to know. I know when St. Cecilia's Parish had to be closed, there was a lot of bitterness, and it was not easy for a lot of people in the community. But what a wonderful way for this parish to be revitalized and giving its home for a service that is so close to so many of our hearts. And we have been speaking with Mara Gillen. Mara, we thank you so much for being with us today and telling us about what you're doing to help homeless veterans in the Coatesville area. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, and thanks for all of what the community is doing for our veterans.
Thank you, Mara. And now we're joined by Father Peter Welsh, who is a regular contributor here at Coatesville Connection. Father, can you give us a prayer to close out this program, and what a wonderful program that was.
Yes, as we move into our where we fortunately call the Roe versus Wade decision, our entire country praying for the sanctity of human life and hopefully a change of not only hearts, but ultimately a change in our laws. to give protection to every human life, beginning with the gift of life that's being formed in the womb. So the beautiful prayer that's been offered to us, the suggested prayers for the 22nd of January, we're giving thanks to God for the gift of human life at every stage, and we pray as we take this prayer for our veterans, family members of our veterans, will continue to watch over and bless and be with them. Let us pray. God, our Creator, we give thanks to you, who alone have the power to impart the breath of life as you form each of us in our mother's womb. Grant, we pray, that we, whom you have made stewards of creation, may remain faithful to this sacred trust and constant in safeguarding the dignity of every human life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Thank you. That's Father Peter Welsh, parochial vicar of St. Joseph's Parish in Coatesville, and you will hear him again next month right here at Coatesville Connection.